this book, the Bible. It's a miracle, a great miracle, that God has preserved this Bible. Because hell has done its best to destroy it. Religious people down through the years have done their best to destroy this book. A few atheists, but the people who have done more damage to the Word of God are those who claim to be believers.
Amen.
That's a strange setting, isn't it? But Satan has put in the mind of men down through the years that this book needs to be destroyed.
Amen.
And it needs to be destroyed because, first of all, it tells where he's going to wind up. How about that? He don't want everybody to know he's going to hell. But that's where he's headed. And along with all those Bible deniers and Bible destroyers that have lived down through the ages and that are alive tonight.
Amen.
In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse number 2. I put the wrong reference on that. It's verse number 2 that I need. Here is the first of the guards that God puts in the Bible. At the end of the law, in the book of Deuteronomy, God puts a guard there against those that would add to or take from the law. Verse number 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Ye shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you, or command you. The first of the guards. The second one is found in the book of Proverbs. Turn over there with me. Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse number 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Isn't that something? And then in the final book of our Bibles, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 22, verses 18 and 19, this great warning is laid before us. And may I say this to you tonight and listen carefully? This warning is far more stern than all the others. And the reason being because it covers the whole of the book. The law, don't add to and don't take from.
Amen.
The prophets, don't add to and don't take from.
Amen.
Now here at the end of the scriptures, both Old and New Testament alike, we are warned not to add to or to take from the good word of God. Verse number 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Amen.
You need to read the plagues that are mentioned just in the book of the Revelation.
Yeah.
You'll stop playing around with the word of God. Then it says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
Amen.
Now that's a lick, isn't it?
Amen.
God doesn't mean for men to fool around with his book. Lord Jesus, we stand before you again tonight. Empty unless you fill us.
Amen.
Weak unless you make us strong. Pitiful unless you bring us alive spiritually.
Amen.
So will you in these moments open these lips, speak to these hearts in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now I read those texts to you tonight for one purpose. I want to show you that there have been many additions to the Holy Scriptures.
Yep.
down through the years. At the Council of Trent in the 1500s, there was arguments over what should be in the Scriptures. There was a great argument as to where Jude should be in the text. Second Peter and the book of the Revelation. Now, I can understand why those were argued, because the one who was in charge of the council was from the Pope. And if you know anything about that, especially in the book of the Revelation, especially chapter 18 or 17 and 18, they didn't want that in there at all. The reason being because it is a definite identification of the papal church and where she's headed. But then they added seven books called the Apocrypha. Now, I don't know if any of you have had time to sit down and read any of the Apocrypha. If you want to read something that'll make you laugh, or if you want to read something that's kind of joyful as far as the world is concerned, then maybe a good dose of the Apocrypha will help you. But it's not the Word of God.
No.
Definitely not the Word of God. I wrote down this afternoon some of the titles of those things that were put in the book as far as the Pope was concerned. And the things that they added are, well, the Song of the Three Children. Bell and the Dragon.
Yes.
Any of you folks ever come across any of that garbage?
No.
No. If you have a King James Bible, you won't.
Amen.
But if you have a Catholic Bible, you're going to find it.
That's right.
First and Second Maccabees. Just garbage that don't belong there. The prayer of somebody, Susanna.
Yeah.
These things, just by the title itself, have no business in the Word of God.
Amen.
But yet it was put there as entertainment, not spiritual guidance whatsoever, but evidently to entertain those who do not believe the Word of God. Now, remember, listen to this. I reminded you the other night that the Lord Jesus told us that there were 39 books in the Old Testament. So if they add seven to it, what does that do? That adds to what Jesus said. Jesus never referred to anything that was written in the Apocrypha. Now, had it been a part of the Word of God, he would have referred to it, no doubt, somewhere. Paul refers. By the way, Paul refers to pagan writers and never refers to anything in the Apocrypha. So there's no thing at all that would guide anyone with any real spiritual intelligence to add those books to the Bible. And especially knowing that Jesus told us that there were but 39. Now, somebody's going to say, well, I didn't see anywhere where he said that. Well, let me show you something. In both the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, the Lord Jesus speaks of the death of Abel and the death of Zacharias, who was slain between the door and the altar in the temple. Now, Abel is mentioned in the book of Genesis. And Zacharias is mentioned in 2 Chronicles. In the Hebrew Bible, Genesis is the first book.
Amen.
And 2 Chronicles is the last book.
Yep.
It's the same books we have in the King James Bible, the same 39, but they're arranged differently in the Hebrew Bible. So Jesus is referring to the whole of the book from Abel to Zacharias which is the 39 books of the Old Testament in his day. And there was no argument as to that. The only argument comes when the papal church thinks they have the authority to add or subtract from the Word of God. Every translation since 1884 has been a Catholic Bible. So if you have anything that is translated since that date, then you know that you have a Catholic Bible. Because it all goes back to Westcott and Hort, who were Catholics and who even themselves wrote from a corrupted text. Yeah. Now, you're not going to remember this, but the Textus Receptus, which is better known as the Authorized Version, you can remember that, is the only book that has come down to us without all of this Catholic interference through the years. And that is the King James Bible.
Amen.
Now, I said to you before, you need not be ashamed of this book. The devil would like to make you ashamed of it. And the devil would like to make you doubt it. But God has preserved this book in order that you and I in this generation would have the Word of God. Now the reason it is fought so muchly so is because it literally confronts man in his sin. Every translation, every single translation, with the exception of the Authorized Version, has some kind of a deal in mind to pacify or walk beside some sin rather than confront you with it.
Amen.
Now, I could go through a multitude of those. No use me doing that because you wouldn't remember it anyhow. But it is fact that translation after translation is there in order to prove some philosophy, some theory, some heresy that man has thought up after eating a beta beans or something.
Amen.
You never know what causes these things to come up. Well, you do too. Satan is the cause of all of this. But the corruptors, now listen carefully, and I can prove what I'm saying, so if they would come up on my doorstep, I can prove to them what I'm saying. The papal church is the mama corrupter of the text. And obviously so. For they have to prove somehow that there is a need for a pope. And they have to prove somehow that Revelation chapter 17, 18, and even 19 does not refer to them when it is a divine description. I've heard preachers say it could be Washington, D.C. Well, Washington, D.C. is not built on seven hills. And there's a multitude of other things. The description, when you have time, sit down and read chapter 18 and 19, especially of the book of the Revelation, and you're going to see a picture of Rome. And you're going to see a description of the papal church. Well, no wonder they want that taken away.
Amen.
No wonder they don't want that in the Bible.
Amen.
No wonder they don't want the book of Jude in the Bible.
Yeah.
Read the book of Jude. See where it leaves them.
Yeah.
Why do they not want Hebrews chapter 10 in the Bible? Because in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us plainly that there is no need for another sacrifice.
Right.
But what happens in the papal church on a consistent basis? The mass is really a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
It really is. Now, I'm not here just to throw rocks at the papal church. I'm going to throw some at the Baptist church, too, in a minute.
Amen.
But it's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
that all of this corruption begins back there. Now listen to me. Those who left the papal church brought that garbage with them. And they have it in their churches. And I'm not ashamed to tell you who they are. They are Lutherans. They are Presbyterians. They are Methodists. They are Episcopalians. All of those are children of the mother church. The only major denomination alive today that is not a child of the so-called mother church is the Baptist church. We can be proud of that, can't we? Thank God we can trace our roots back beyond the papal church. But all of those others were spit out of the papal church. But they brought their garbage with them. And most of those churches, if you went in, you'd think you were in a papal church. Except for a few differences. But overall, you'd think you were in a papal church. So here we are in this astute generation. And we're living in a world where the Bible, the Word of God, has been so corrupted Amen. That very few people have any confidence in it in our day and time. Amen. And I told preachers and have told preachers and continue to tell preachers in meetings across this country, do not stand in the pulpit and say a better rendition would be, or let's go to the original Greek. Because anyone that I've ever taught will laugh at you. They'll know how stupid you are by saying such things. There is no better rendition than the authorized version. Did you hear what I said? There is no better rendition than the authorized version. Now watch this. In order to correct the King James, the authorized version, you'll hear preachers say, well, let's go to the original Greek. Well, there's two things wrong with that. Number one, he don't know the original Greek. Number two, neither do the translations that came from the Greek. Now let me show you why. The translations from the Greek were translated from the Greek that is the modern Greek. The scriptures were written in the Koine Greek. Entirely different. Let me see if I can explain it to you, make it a little easier for you. The Koine Greek is the day-by-day, man-on-the-street language. Yep. The one that the Westcott and Hort Bibles were translated from is the Greek that was in the theaters. So when preachers say, I'm going to take you back to the original Greek. He's dropped on his head and he's a baby twice. The fact is he can't find the original Greek. I can't find the original Greek. That it does not exist as far as we know. God may have it hid somewhere in a cave. Who knows? But the fact is we haven't found it yet. Scholars have searched and they haven't found it yet. So how can you get back to the original Greek? Amen. So please listen to me. When you hear a preacher say that, just go ahead and put a check by his name. Put a little dot out beside it. No, put two dots up beside it, which means he's dumber than a rock. Amen. You know why they say that? Because they want to make you think that they're educated. Now, don't you think I bumped heads down through the years? But let me tell you something. This book's right. The book is right. Man is wrong. That's where the rub comes. And I've said down through the years, it is not that you do not understand the book. It is that you do understand the book. And you don't want to understand the book. So you want to find something that'll excuse you in your sin. That's what religion has done through the years. They've taken out of the text what crucifies them. And they've added to the text things that please them. And again, no wonder. Most people have no confidence in the Bible.
Amen.
And no wonder the question is asked from time to time, well, which Bible do you use? When someone asks me that, I say all of them. Why would I say that? Because I use all of them to prove that the King James is the only one that's fact. I use all of them to show you that there is error in those. When you look at this Bible and you read this Bible and it confronts you with your sin, don't try to change the Bible. Don't try to make an excuse for your sin. When the Holy Ghost confronts you with the words in this book, what you need to do is throw up your hands and say, calf rope.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I'm guilty.
Amen.
Forgive me.
Amen.
Forgive me. I'm telling you, it is a miracle. When you get to glory, you're going to find that one of the greatest miracles of all time is God preserving this book that we might have it tonight. That it might be the comfort we need in the time of our trials. That it might be the strength we need in the time of our weakness. And that it might take away the doubt in the time of our doubting. Soothing our very conscience to know that our sins have been forgiven for eternity. What a book. What a book that magnifies the person of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it magnifies, throws on the panoramic screen of eternity the Lord Jesus Christ. Here He is. Here He is. Here He is. And to those of us who are believers, we find His image on every page. We hear His voice in every line, and we praise Him because He's honored us in giving us this book. Now, who am I and who are you? Who are those whom God has given the authority? Whether it be church, pope, preacher, pastor, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, we have no right to change this book. Who but who would think he is bold enough to stand before God and change His word? No wonder the warning is so great.
Amen.
And no wonder this book is so dear to our hearts.
Amen.
Because we're believers.
Amen.
We're believers.
Amen.
Anyone whom you find who's ever been exposed to truth and will tell you that they are not believers have been influenced by a false translation of the Scripture.
Amen.
Everyone. So now they can say, which Bible? Which Bible? And they do. Over and over again. I preach in churches across this country, and I note that people in the pews have some of these false Bibles. And some of you at one time or another have had them. But now you know better. And he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You may have to search to find an authorized version. Really. Because they don't display the authorized versions as they once did. What you'll have to do is go to the bookstore and say, best thing to do is go online to some of these printers, churches who do the printing and print the King James Bible and buy it from them. But if you walk into a store to buy a King James Bible and ask them for the authorized version, well, we don't have any of those. But we have this. Every translation since 1884 is a false translation. It is a Catholic Bible. Now, believe that or not, but it's so. Because every one of them have been translated from the writings of Nestles, Westcott, and Hort. So now you know. But I hope you know the miracle that God has prepared and preserved for us. Hallelujah. Thank God for the authorized text. Thank God for a Bible we can believe. Thank God for a Bible that we know the promises are sure. Amen. They're not man's promises, they're God's promises. Amen. Thank God for the book that He's preserved for you and me in this generation. If He didn't do it for anybody else, He did it for me. If He didn't preserve it for anyone else, He preserved it for me. But He preserved it for you as well. And a miracle upon miracles that it has survived. But let me just mention this, if I may. The account of Christ has survived.
Amen.
And hell has shot every cannon it could against the birth of Christ. That Christ is truly the Son of God. Bible after Bible that you'll pick up will deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Oh, it does it slyly. But when you read what it says, it's saying that Jesus is a Son of God. There's a major difference in those two articles. You know what an article is. The word the and the word a. If Jesus is a Son of God, then He's no better than we are.
Amen.
By the way, let me correct a false statement here. Not all of us are. Not everyone is a Son of God.
Amen.
Now you'll hear that said all the time. But Paul cleared that up real quickly. No. Those that are believers are God's children. But Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That's attacked from every angle. Others will tell you that Jesus did not know He was God until He was 12 years old. No, I'm sorry, at His baptism.
Amen.
He well knew it at the age of 12, didn't He?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever notice that these Bible deniers will always trip themselves up somewhere?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, if Jesus didn't know he was God until the baptism, then why in the world did he identify himself as so at 12 years old?
Right.
And of course, they'll tell us that the book of the Revelation is all spiritual. Really nothing there that's tangible. It's all spiritual. And that it all happened during the apostolic age. You haven't heard that often, have you? No. Hey, listen. If the book of the Revelation took place in the apostolic age, this world sure is not living in a millennial. This is not heaven. I promise you. Just some falsities that come down the line because of false Bibles. And I could spend another hour. But just believe this. This book's so. When you pick it up and read it, you can actually say this is the Word of God for English-speaking people. And properly translated, it is for every language into which it has been translated, the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet. I know of no better thought to end this series with than to say, I believe. I believe. Remember the gentleman that brought his son to the Lord and said, now, I think every man who's had a son could say this. He's lunatic. There's a space in time when every one of us have been along that line. And after the conversation has taken place, Jesus said, if you believe.
Yes.
And his words were these. Listen carefully. Lord,
I believe.
Help thou mine unbelief. I pray that prayer quite often. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I'm conscious, muchly so. And I guard myself to try to keep from getting involved too much so in what's going on in the world around us today. But if you want to have a conversation, we can have a conversation. And when I see that, my mind goes to those words, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Because I think Jesus should have come years ago.
Amen.
The wickedness, ungodliness that we're living in, the things that literally turn us upside down,
yes,
as far as our nation is concerned. And no one seems to care. And the ones of us who are speaking out against it are called fools. If you're a believer, you're not a fool. If you trust the good Lord, you're not a fool. So let's keep our eyes above the horizon. Realize that God is in control in spite of what takes place. God is in control. And these things will work out for our benefit and for His glory.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this book.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me down through the years declare it across this country. And now, Lord, the days that you have left for me May I not step aside. May we not step aside.
Yes.
May we stand strong. Be firm in our convictions. True to the fact of our belief. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.